tall.
Would you agree with me in prayer? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we trust you that you will give us the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that you'll give us eyes that see, you'll give us ears that hear. We pray, Lord, that we'll have understanding, that our hearts will be enlightened, that our minds will be enlightened, and even that our bodies will be changed. We pray, Lord, that every person, spirit, soul, and body, will be blessed, benefited from being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject tonight is the kingdom of heaven. Now, it just occurred to me today, I found out something, so I'm going to call your attention to a couple things on the chart right off. The kingdom of heaven in the Greek, this is the word, ouranos. I'll explain the whole chart in a minute. But this is the ouranos, and this is the Greek word from the base words, ora, meaning tall. And say that for me, Larry. Na-a-o. Na-a-o. Well, na-a-o, meaning to think. So how's this for the kingdom of heaven? Think tall. I want you to think of that for a minute, because that's our lesson. Think tall. Ride tall in the saddle, pardon me. Think tall. That's what heaven's about. Heaven is about thinking tall. One time years ago when I was a sailor up in Chicago, I went to a place to get me a cup of coffee and a donut, and there they had the Optimus Creed painted on the wall. I don't know whether anybody's ever been to those donut shops where they tell the Optimus Creed there, but I can't remember the whole thing, but it finally ends up, the last line of the poem is, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole. Keep your eye upon the donut. Somebody says, here's a glass of water, and the water is just right at the center, halfway up. Is the glass half full or half empty?
Half full.
Well, according to the way you approach the problem, according to the way you think about things, that sometimes influences the outcome. Is that all right? Oh. Whether it's half empty or half full, huh? Well, maybe it's according to whether you're a waitress or not. Well, whatever it is, I'm trying to suggest the thought of the kingdom of heaven. We've got to consider the kingdom of heaven in some different terms. There is an old Negro spiritual that goes, everybody talk about, nobody know about heaven. Everybody talk about, nobody know about. We're going to give you some scriptures, Bible scriptures tonight, about the kingdom of heaven. First, I'd like to point out the various features of the chart. The kingdom of heaven, and first we're going to see several Hebrew words. Gal, gal, and all these kind of words here, and the Greek words, and find out how they're translated. Then we're going to take a particular word, the Hebrew word for heaven, and see how it's translated in the various ways in the Bible, and the word ouranos from the Greek, and find out how it's translated. Then we're going to study that the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. How many have wondered about that? Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. We'll give scriptures so that you can decide for yourself whether or not the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. Then we'll talk about some scriptures that Jesus, as Jesus was talking about heaven. Because if Jesus tells us about heaven, that ought to settle what heaven's about. Is that all right? Somebody says they want to die and go to heaven. Well, all right, if you've got to die and go to heaven, help yourself. But the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. Is that okay? Did Jesus say that? All right, so we're not making it up. It's scriptural. We don't have to die and go off somewhere to have heaven. You can actually have heaven here. We'll be talking about the publicans and harlots. We'll talk about righteousness, and that'll be hopefully the end of the lesson. This is on the kingdom of heaven. First, we're going to talk about the fact that heaven is translated a rolling cloud, Galgal. It's translated a thin cloud. Shackle. Or something like that. Heaved up things. That's the most frequent. There's a difference between the M and the N in this heaved up things. Two kind, and sky and air in the Greek ouranos. The Hebrew word, shamayim, is translated error 21 times and heaven 398 times. The Greek word for heaven is ouranos. That's translated error 10 times, heaven 268 times, and sky 55 times. But heaven is really the expanse, the bigness, growth, or increase. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. Do you remember those parables? If you'll remember some of these parables, they had to do with a sower who, and another one who's planting wheat, another planting mustard seed, leaven, and it. And all these have to do with increase, right? You put in a little and you get a lot. Is that okay? So the kingdom of heaven is multiplication. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of expansion. The kingdom of heaven is getting bigger. And when you're getting bigger, you're heavenly. And a few people said, hallelujah. When this is over with, Lord willing, before this is over with, you will learn how to think heavenly. You'll know how to make your decisions. Lots of times, when we decide about situations of life, job changes or all kinds of house changes, buying a car or something, you can decide on expansion or you can decide on contraction. After it's over with, after tonight's lesson is over with, I hope that you will always choose expansion and let God bring the contraction. I'll say it another way. See, God has a way of shrinking us up and contracting us and putting the squeeze on, putting the pressure on, doesn't he? Have you noticed? I think it's wrong for a Christian to choose the way of contraction. I think Christians should choose the way of expansion. Constantly think in terms of getting bigger, of multiplication, of putting one in and getting 30, 60, and 100 for it. Do you see what I'm driving at in that realm? Now, let's say, for instance, that you're about to buy a car. If you say to yourself, from all forms of logic, we should get out of the Impala and into a little, what? Help me. Huh? A VW. All right, we're going to get out of the Impala and into the VW. Now, if all this logical says that a VW is the most logical car for our needs, that's one thing. But if you say there's going to be a gas shortage, things are going to be worse, I'm not going to have enough money, I better choose a smaller thing because my abilities are going to be less or worse. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Then you've made a bad mistake. I'm not finding fault for trading, you know, from a pallet to a Volkswagen, if that's the logical thing. But if you start thinking that God is going to contract you, so therefore you're going to have to... Now, if he's already contracted you, it's one thing. If you say, well, we can't afford a pallet, there's no money, but I do have money for a VW, that's one thing. Is that all right? But if you say, well, I could get one or the other, but now with this gas shortage, God will probably never get us the gas and all those. Mm-mm. You're thinking, you're contracting yourself and you're making decisions to make yourself smaller rather than making decisions to make yourself larger. God has the ability to make us smaller at any time. So he said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now when the corn of wheat fall in the ground and dies and abides alone, then would you agree it's under the kingdom of contraction? Being squeezed, dark, lonely. All right, do you see what I'm driving at? All right, when this happens, this is godly because the purpose of the contraction or the squeeze is to bring forth new life. Whether you ladies are hearing me, the purpose of the contractions are to bring forth what? New life. And that's the way it is in all realms. There's a squeeze, there's a pressure, but it brings forth new life. Now let God bring that in His time. Is that all right? If you bring it forth too soon, you have a stillbirth. Is that right? And so there's a time that God will bring it, and we're not to bring the kingdom of contraction. We're to always choose the kingdom of expansion. we're to choose to get bigger. So, if you're not quite sure about your job, then measure your job. Is this a bigger chance? Sometimes you have to measure its potential, not the what's up today. You understand that. I'm not saying that at the very moment, but when you look at the whole thing, you say, I'm choosing the big way. I'm thinking tall. I'm thinking big. In the Psalms, we find out that there was a person who was healed, and when we looked it up, we found out that healing is lengthening. Literally, the word healing is lengthening. Am I saying something to anybody? Are you hearing this? Think tall. Think expansive. Think lengthening. You know, stretch your ruler. Think bigger. When you have to make your decisions and you're forced into a smaller situation, remember this, that God does lead us between a rock and a hard place. Puts a Red Sea in front and Egyptians behind and makes us cry uncle or ouch or something, right? And then he squeezes us. Then we have to take the trip through the Red Sea till we get out on the other side and into the kingdom of expansion. Is that okay? So there are times when we realize that we will get squeezed, but let's not us make our decisions to put ourselves in the squeeze. Let's us make our decisions more in harmony with the kingdom of what? Heaven, thinking in tall, thinking big, and then when God has, a situation he wants to teach us, he can put some Egyptians behind us and put the squeeze on. Am I doing all right? Are you following? All right. Let's keep going here. The kingdom of heaven. Arenos comes from the tall and the thinking, and we've got a problem here because sometimes heaven doesn't mean heaven. And did you know that the Jewish people, sometimes they say, may the heavens bless you. Have you ever heard that expression? May the heavens bless you? How many have heard that expression? Well, we got half the people. Well, this is because, out of reverence, the Jewish people didn't pronounce the name of God. They wouldn't say, may Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh prosper you. They wouldn't pronounce it. So, as a substitute for the word Yahweh, they sometimes used the word heaven. For this was his place or his abode. Is that okay? Now, the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. It is the same thing as the kingdom of God. We're going to read some scriptures out of Matthew and compare them with Luke right now. Turn with me first to Matthew. Matthew 8. Matthew 8:11. And I'm going to read, and I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, verily I say unto you, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Keep your finger there and go to Luke 13. We'll flip around between Matthew and Luke. Luke 13:28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They'll come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Now what did Luke call it? Kingdom of what? Luke called it what? Kingdom of God. What did Matthew call it? Would you agree it's the same story? Huh? Would you agree it's the same story? This is the same story. Well, here we've come from all the directions, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, to sit down in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And I want to be in the kingdom of heaven, don't you? I definitely want this. Now, we know, according to the Bible, Romans 14:17, that the kingdom of heaven is not a place, it's a state. It's not meat or drink. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So then, the kingdom of heaven is not somewhere you go, but the kingdom of heaven is, how are you? How do you react to the situation? How's your RPJ? What's he talking about, the RPJ? How's your RPJ factor? Well, how many have heard of STP? How many have heard of STP? Well, how many have heard of RPJ? RPJ is your righteousness, peace, and joy. Your RPJ, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that ought to be good. But you know, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we lose our righteousness and our peace and our joy. I wouldn't want to tell you the ways I lose it. But I do have trouble lots of times when I'm driving a car and get behind somebody that's driving real, real slow. I just don't know why, but I have this difficulty, something that I'm praying through. There have been times when I get behind somebody who's driving very, very slow. And, you know, maybe about 35 miles an hour in a 55 zone. And on a two-lane highway, and it's too wiggly to go around them, you know. You just have to stay there. And then you just praise the Lord for your RPJ. But when you lose it, lose your righteousness, lose your peace, and lose your joy, do you lose your salvation? That's very important to see. You don't lose your salvation. The only thing you lose is the kingdom of God. You lose the kingdom of heaven, but you don't lose your salvation. Now, if you die, you go to heaven. You know, you can be really steaming and storming behind that car that's going so slow and finally say, I'm going around anyway, pull out and have a head on, and you go right there. You can make it right fast to heaven. But I think it'd be better to stay behind that slow car and have your righteousness, peace, and joy while you're moving along at 34 miles an hour. Is that all right? I'm using that example. I don't know about you. You can take your various examples. There have been times when I have been known to have a little trouble with my RPJ factor when I was carrying some groceries home from the grocery store. And it seems like I had somebody who filled the sack with the eggs on the bottom. Is that okay? Something like that. Does anyone here ever have anything like that? Let me ask this question. How many here have children? All right, then there ought to be. Then there ought to be a few things. Yeah. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Turn with me, please, to John chapter 14 for just a minute. John chapter 14. This is not on your outline, so if you're making notes, you want to write this one down because it's not there. In John chapter 14, Jesus speaking. I can't say it's in red in this one now because this particular page is in red and green and blue. It's pretty well. But I know it's Jesus, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. So we got the idea, in order to get to heaven, when we got to heaven, well, first, the first thing to do is get to heaven. So Jesus stands at the door and what? Knock, knock, knock. So you open your heart's door, you give your heart to Jesus. He comes in, and now you're ready for heaven. Then you go to go to church and Sunday school, and you give a testimony. Pray for me that I can hold on to the end. All right, you know. If I could just have a little, what is it, Mose?
Somebody says, let go, brother.
Let go, brother. If I could have a cabin in the corner of Glory Land, Or maybe we sing number 45, I've Got a Mansion, just over the hilltop. But somehow you get the idea. We want to die and go to heaven. When we die and go to heaven, that's our goal. Now come on. Give me a nod. Isn't that basically what we've always heard in Sunday school and church? This is our goal, to die, you know, get saved, live a good life, die and go to heaven. But this word heaven is the same word that's in verse 23 of the same chapter. And in verse 23, the word, it goes like this. And Jesus answered and said to him, now if a man agape me, he'll keep my logos, my Father will agape him. We'll come unto him and make our abode with him. See that word abode? Underline it. And put V2 right next to it in the margin. And underline the word mansion in the second verse. And put a V23 so that you'll be able to go back and forth. Because the word abode and the word mansion are the exact same Greek word. It's got all, it's even spelled the same way. It's got the same wigglies on the top, or whatever those are. That's the same thing, the mansion and the abode. So we got the idea from verse 1 and 2 and from our songbook that we should die to go to heaven to get our mansion. But in verse 23 we find out the way to get our mansion is not dying, but obeying and loving. And if we obey and love, Jesus said, he will bring, watch it, the mansion out of heaven to where we are now. How do you see the difference? Whereas before we thought the way to get the mansion and the way to get heaven is to die and go on the other side, cross Jordan's chilly waters, you know, swing low and sweet chariot, and all those kind of neat things, and go way over to the other side, go to the way of the grave and death. But Jesus said the way to get heaven and the way to have the abode, mansion, dwelling place, tabernacle, Sukkoth, it's all the same, is to love. And we can have it right here and right now. For the kingdom of heaven is not something that's way far off. It's right here. Am I saying the same thing a different way so you're catching it? You see what I'm driving at? The kingdom of heaven, we don't have to go somewhere to get it. We got it. All we have to do is be lovers instead of fighters. Lovers always win, fighters always lose. If that's not a song, it ought to be. And it's true. And I read the last chapter in the book of Revelation and we win. The lovers win. It's going to be all right. And we're going to have the kingdom of heaven, not somewhere way off in the blue skies in the yonder, but he's going to bring it right here where we are right now. 2,000 years ago, the theologians were expecting the Messiah to come. Is that correct? Well, we know it. Herod was. He sent for the theologians. Don't you remember all this? You know, they were expecting the Messiah. And they were expecting a what kind of a Messiah? A what? A king. Is that right? So Herod got all uptight because there was going to be a king. And when we think in terms of a king, we think of might and power and majesty and glory and honor and a scepter and a throne, armies, navies, and marines. You know, no offense, Larry. And all those neat things. But when they said to Jesus, are you the king? He said, not of this world, else my disciples would fight. The kingdom that I have come to set up is not a kingdom of the world. It's a kingdom of peace within the heart. It's a spiritual kingdom. Is that right? Jesus came to set up a spiritual kingdom. Not a literal, natural, physical kingdom. Now, 2,000 years later, Jesus said he's coming back again. Is that correct? And some of us, mistakenly, because of the songbook, are looking for a spiritual kingdom. I'll fly away, oh glory. And we want to go off in the sky to be off in heaven when Jesus comes. 2,000 years ago, they were looking for a literal physical kingdom and they got a spiritual heavenly kingdom. Now, we're looking for a spiritual heavenly kingdom and we're going to get a physical earthly kingdom. You see? will we ever learn? No. And who is it that's always led us along the wrong track? Say it real loud, Gene.
Theologians.
All right. We can do that to Gene. Yes, it's true. Because it just seems like that of all the folks that we deal with, it's the theologians that have more commandments and traditions. Is that okay? And somebody said, well, I thought when you went to school and learned theology that you learned Bible. No, you just learned your own doctrine. Trying to get the concept of the kingdom of heaven and tell you that we're going to have to use our Bibles, not our quarterlies, in the end time. Is that all right? That's as much as I can get from the the overview of what I've been trying to say. I think the Bible gives us the truth, but would you admit that it's pretty hard to get out from under what we've already learned from our quarterly? See, this is the real hard thing for me, because I studied my quarterly when I was in that. I really studied my quarterly, and I knew what that meant in 14:2. I knew that. You know, I'd heard enough testimonies and read the quarterly enough. I knew what that meant. That meant I was going to die. I was going to go over into heaven. I was going to get my mansion if I would just live right and tithe. You know, and do all the other things that they were teaching me to do. Is that all? And then I would get my mansion. But now I found out that isn't the way it is at all. That all I have to do is love. But you know something? If you're loving, you're living right. I'll say that again. Somebody says, well, don't you think it's wise to teach people to keep all the rules and laws of Moses? No, because Jesus fulfilled all those rules and laws of Moses. I think it's wise to teach people to love. Somebody says, well, yes, but if you just teach people to love, then they'll go off and be bad and do bad things. You're wrong, because lovers won't hurt anybody. You see, it's that you're thinking of sex instead of love. Come on now. Is that all right? And there's a big mix-up here. Lovers are going to win. The lovers are not going to hurt anybody. And if you want to wrap it up, it's just love. If you don't know what else, and there's no law, and you don't know, you know, a situation of life, you don't know how to meet it, then how would Jesus meet it? He would always meet it with what? With love. All right, so this is the way it is. Now I'm back to Matthew chapter 10 for just a minute, please. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 7, for another concept to show the basic what we're trying to say. He's saying, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven... I'm emphasizing the word heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. Now keep your finger there and go to Luke 9. Luke 9, 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of what? Now what was the other one? Kingdom of what? All right. To heal the sick. And he said, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither two coats apiece. So we saw in one case it was the kingdom of God, the other case it was the kingdom of heaven. It was speaking of the same subject. Nod your head and say, yeah, I see. Shake your head and say, no, I don't. Okay? Give me one more. Matthew 11:11 to... establish the point. Everything will be established out of the mouth of how many witnesses? Two or three. So we'll wrap it up with three this time. Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was absolutely the greatest Old Testament prophet. Now, you're going to be getting one of our new books very shortly now. And in this new book, you're going to find out some things about John the Baptist. For John the Baptist was actually an Old Testament character, though he's written about in the New Testament. Because John died before the cross, before the resurrection. Are you following it? And John has to follow the rules that were established in the Old Testament. John, now hold on, John wasn't even saved.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.